Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to yet another edition of TGP Radio. As always, I'm your host, Not Razor, and let's get this Super Bowl recap show underway. The end of the 2015 NFL season is upon us. It is here. It has ended thanks to last week's game, Super Bowl 50, and, as this season comes to a close, and most likely Peyton Manning's career goes out with a whimper, more so than a bang. Obviously, you could say that going out with the Super Bowl win it would be a positive thing, a bang as it were. But you see, Peyton Manning's stat line, you see how he performed. It didn't have to do anything, and that's pretty much the key. It took a back seat, made a couple nice throws, mainly to open up the game, to kind of show that, maybe it wouldn't be so bad as the Seattle Super Bowl a couple years ago, but made a couple good throws. But other than that, was perfectly content to hand the ball off for three downs every drive and punt the ball, which is fascinating. When you look at what everybody thinks of Peyton Manning, you essentially think field general, somebody who's just going to chuck it over the yard 40 times a game, is going to put the team on his shoulders, and everything essentially goes through him, good, bad, indifferent. If he throws some picks, that's going to happen, because usually that's when things are generally channeled through one person, that's tendency to happen. Mistakes are going to happen, et cetera. But with this, you got some production out of C.J. Anderson, and more importantly, you got production out of that defense. That Denver defense was absolutely smothering. And once again, kind of interesting because, Cam Newton obviously wins MVP, wins Offensive Player of the Year, and credit to him and that Panthers team for even making it this far. But, that Denver defense just completely shut everything down. And, Cam gets sacked, seven times, I think, something like that. Sacked a bunch of times, had a couple fumbles. One return for a touchdown, had a pick late that T.J. Ward is kind of dumb. You pick that off and you get down. It's one thing if you have clean footing and can get up and make something happen, perhaps. It's another thing when you're struggling to get up, and then it's just poor decision making on Ward's part. Luckily for him, when he gets stripped, that Danny Trevathan is there to recover the fumble. Otherwise, that is an absolute huge play. It's just one of those things. But props to Denver's defense. And really, it's just an incredibly weird game overall. You've got, you start off, Peyton makes a couple nice throws to begin with. You're thinking, okay, things are going to be all right. He's making throws. They drive down. Offense stalls towards the end there, but they're able to get a field goal. And after that, things just for Carolina just kind of collapsed, which is weird. I mean, people give credit to Denver's defense right off the bat, but Cam wasn't sharp right off the bat. And I don't think a defensive presence has a quarterback shook right out the gate. Usually, pressure is going to get there, hits are going to get there, that stuff's going to accumulate. And for Cam to be sailing passes essentially right out the gate isn't a good look. Then you've got the fumble return for a touchdown, and Carolina couldn't get anything done. And it's crazy. I mean, you've got weird things like the Ward fumble that's recovered by Danny Trevathan. You've got one of the bigger plays for Denver that sprung things was the Jordan Norwood punt return, which I think is the longest punt return in Super Bowl history, which that in and of itself is a ridiculously weird play because it's an incredibly poor decision from Norwood's part. You don't call a fair catch. You run, 15, 20 yards into a group, seemingly, of Panther defenders without calling a fair catch. You're essentially somewhat doing it on the run. If you catch it in the middle of a group of defenders and somehow nobody tackles him. Now, he gets essentially a shove in the shoulder, which knocks him free of the pile, and off he goes. Now, Panthers... I guess one of the Panthers gunners or special teamers said that they had thought that Norwood gave a fair catch sign before attempting to recover it or to field it, and that would somewhat explain that would somewhat explain their apprehension to tackle him. But I mean, the replays I've seen pretty much so that there was nothing there. And I thought the reffing was decent in this game. Seemingly, it's a Super Bowl. I know throughout the regular season, refs are going to call pretty much anything and everything, but it's kind of nice in the Super Bowl to let them play. You didn't have a bunch of flags for pass interference. You didn't have flags for defensive holding. Granted, he did at the end, which, set up the T.J. Anderson, essentially 1 yard game clinching touchdown. You had that late, but other than that, things were pretty clean. All clean for the most part. Aqib Talib was not clean at all. I am absolutely shocked that he actually made it through the game without being ejected. You get into a war of words on the sideline with the player. Then a few plays later, you end up trying to detach a player's head from his body by twisting it off via a face mask. That is not a good look at all. I honestly expected that play from him to continue. I expected something dirty to happen, and he would have been ejected. That didn't happen. Something I was firmly expecting, whether it be another eye poke or just something incredibly dumb that he is seemingly want to do. But that didn't happen. So he finishes out the game. Just a bunch of really just some really weird plays and stuff that happens that doesn't happen. And it's just we look at Denver's defense. Denver on offense, again, Peyton finishes with a stat line of 13 for 23 for 141 yards and a interception. That, I think, is the lowest Peyton and Anderson. That whole offense is the lowest offensive performance to win a Super Bowl. So there's that, or second lowest, something like that. Something crazy and dumb like that. And, of course, it has to end with Peyton Manning. That's how Peyton Manning's career ends. Can't talk tonight. So you've got that. Like I said, you got some decent runs from C.J. Anderson, finishing with 22 carries for 90 yards. Sub 4 yards a carry, not great. But that Panthers defense is largely legit. You had a couple drops from wide receivers. You had some drop or had some typical Peyton overthrows and general inaccuracy that we've seemingly come to expect from Peyton at this point. Demaryius Thomas pretty much got shut down. Emmanuel Sanders had, you know, pretty nice performance. Not spectacular, not great, but again, that defense is certainly what carried him. I mean, Von Miller, 2.5 sacks, fumble return for a touchdown, just a beast of a game. And then we look at Carolina's offense, which again, you know, you've got the reigning MVP, the reigning Offensive Player of the Year. You've kind of got to expect that he would do something. And I'm hearing a lot of love for Denver's defense, and it's warranted what they did. I think part of that needs to be the role needs to be slowed a little bit. I've heard analysts and players say that was one of the best defensive performances that they've seen. And, you know, who am I to say otherwise? But in my mind, Carolina team that, yes, they're 15-1, well, 15-1 in regular season, 17-1 up to that point, haven't lost the game, have dominated their opponents in the playoffs thus far. But you look at that team, you look at the wide receivers that they're rolling out there. I said last week I didn't have any expectation that guys like Ted Ginn and Corey Brown, Philly Brown, whichever whichever name he's willing to go by, whichever. But I didn't anticipate them having, you know, great games that they were going to go off. Similar stat lines to Sanders, Corey Brown, 4 for 80. Ted Ginn, 4 for 74. I think they did a good job of shutting down Greg Olsen, which I thought that might be kind of the X factor, because if there's one good key threat that the Panthers do have in that passing game is Greg Olsen, but that didn't really happen. So, you know, the Broncos defense essentially shut down Ted Ginn and Corey Brown, which that should be expected. These players aren't, you know, by far they aren't number ones. I don't know. I don't even know if you called Ted Ginn really a number two. I mean, is he more of a number three? Either way, Panthers are in the Super Bowl. Things that have worked for them throughout the season have continued to work in the playoffs. There's that. You also got Jonathan Stewart, running back, who, you know, 1,000 yards on the season, has a good game against Seattle, so that works. You know, again, I'm not frightened at all of Jonathan Stewart. I'm not. And then on the offensive line, you've got, you know, two frankly weak tackles. I mean, that's what they are. Carolina seemingly had, it seems like they've had offensive line tackle issues for forever now. And that is, I mean, that's just one of those things. But, you know, Michael Orr, not too great. Mike Rimmers, I don't know a ton about Rimmers. Young guy, undrafted. You know, gave up 5.5 sacks on the season, not including, you know, what happened in the postseason. But it's just, you know, it's not great. I mean, they're not anchors there, and they got lit up by Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware. That the line pretty much had their way with the Panthers' offensive line. And you see, you know, that affects Cam. So, I mean, so you're essentially rolling out there with subpar receivers, subpar offensive line, a subpar running game. So, I mean, the Panthers overachieved all season. That's what it was. 15-1. It's incredibly difficult to go 15-1 in this league. It's incredibly difficult to go 14-2. It is incredibly difficult to win at a highly consistent rate. props to the Panthers for doing it, just for making the Super Bowl. But you are not going to win a Super Bowl when you are essentially putting your Super Bowl hopes on the back of one player. Again, Cam Newton, MVP, well-deserved. Offensive Player of the Year, well-deserved. The things that he was able to do this season, again, getting the Panthers to a 15-1 record, domination of the Seahawks and the Cardinals, which I firmly expected the Cardinals to win. Unfortunately, Carson Palmer had other ideas, but you've got that. Props to them for being in the Super Bowl, but you cannot win a Super Bowl putting your entire hopes on one player with a subpar supporting cast. I don't care what team you're rolling out there, you just can't. Cam was shook essentially from the moment he stepped on the field. Now I know Cam's not, you know, a super great passer. I think he's got sub 60% completion rating on the season. Again, that part of that's not helped out at all by his wide receivers. Ted Ginn drops a bazillion passes, it seems like, every single game. So there's that. But, you know, if you take away the wide open, you know, Cam making extending plays with his legs and hitting wide receivers over the field late, they're streaking down uncovered. You take away that, you have contain on him that lets him not run around with his legs, not gain huge chunks of yards consistently with his legs. And, you know, you've pretty much been down. I mean, now granted, that's not to say that that's something immensely easy to do. Again, Panthers 15-1. Obviously not very many teams were able to shut them down this season. Oddly enough, the Falcons did, sort of. Not really shut them down, but were able to beat them. That's one of those things. So, but I mean, there's that. Cam Newton, not great. Off. Pretty much the entire game, and yeah, that is pretty much Super Bowl 50, and I guess this is essentially a kind of slow your roll show. Okay, so Denver's defense, great. Is it great of all time? I don't know. Was this performance in the Super Bowl great? Yes. But look who they were playing. So there's a caveat with that. I've seen a lot of talk, seemingly, in this past week, says, you know, this win by Denver gives hope to every other team out there that doesn't have, you know, that doesn't have a quarterback, that shows them that they can win a Super Bowl with, you know, a game manager at quarterback and a superb defense. And, you know, if we're saying that, then we're saying that looking back at the Baltimore Ravens Super Bowl, you know, over a decade ago, that gives teams hope that they can do it. This NFL season in and of itself was incredibly weird. You're not going to get the confluence of events with the amount of injuries that you had, with the amount of really subpar play. And, you know, I keep harking back to the Dolphins beating the Patriots late in the season. That's something that, you know, the Dolphins are in shambles. That's something in a normal season you don't see. In my opinion, that's something you don't see. So to take what happens in a frankly outlier of a season and say, okay, this is essentially, you know, this is the new norm. Players, teams can consistently win without a, you know, dominant quarterback and with a stellar defense. I don't think that's the case. I don't think it is. I don't think that, you know, teams – and again, well, maybe that maybe this, maybe things change. Maybe this isn't a weird year, and this is just the fact of the NFL season for the NFL, the landscape of the NFL from here on out. But I think it's jumping the gun tremendously to say that, oh, hey, this is essentially the new norm. Anybody can do it without a quarterback and with a star defense, with a game manager, essentially another Trent Dilfer, or in this case, Peyton Manning, which is absolutely hilarious given his career trajectory, but can do that with either of those quarterbacks and be able to win. I don't see it. Don't see it. All right, there's that. I'm going to put Not Vin on to discuss his Broncos victory. And, yeah, we'll discuss some other fun things. There's that.
Hello, NotRazor. How's it going?
It is going good, Not Vin. How are you?
I'm doing very well, NotRazor. Let me tell you, I did not expect the Denver Broncos to win the Super Bowl.
It's pretty nice, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was pretty great. And now I get to lord it over people. I get to be like blue.
Yeah, look at the rings.
Yeah.
One day I hope to lord Super Bowls over people, but we know that won't happen.
Man, Blake Bortles, though, he's the future. And he's now the best quarterback in the AFC South.
Yeah, it's fun. That's fun. And we'll go, 4-12 again next season, or 6-10. I don't even remember what our record is. I've apparently blotted this season out of my mind. I don't remember what our record was. 5-11, 6-10, something like that. I don't know. We got the fifth overall pick, so obviously it wasn't that good, but no.
Beats having the third overall pick.
Yeah, something like that. So, second most touchdowns in the league, a bazillion yards, and gets us the top five pick. So, yeah, it's pretty awesome. We are Broncos, though.
Yeah.
Pretty solid. Didn't get too much out of Peyton, which you're probably pretty happy with. Although I think had the game required it, had the Panthers actually made things somewhat close, I think Peyton would have thrown it more, for better or worse. That one pick was terrible. A couple fumbles weren't too good either, but I think had the situation required it, I think he would have thrown more, and we might have seen a different result. Or we might have seen, Peyton throwing touchdowns. Who knows? But
we wouldn't have
that.
Seen that.
You got to be
no.
But I mean, you've got to be pretty happy overall. I mean, Peyton doesn't do a bunch. You win the Super Bowl. Good times.
Yeah. I liked how our offense in the second half was basically just, all right, don't fuck this up. And we almost did still fuck it up a bunch of times. It was okay, third and 15. Let's just run the ball. Just fuck it. We're punting. Screw this.
Yeah. And it's just,
I'm just like, yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Peyton Manning's not a good quarterback anymore. It's the best way to optimize our chances of winning.
Pretty much. I mean, the man's almost 40, so there's that. Like I mentioned earlier, so it's just a bunch of weird plays overall. I mean, you get the fluky Norwood punt return, which is one of the strangest plays I've ever seen, not just in a Super Bowl, but in a game period. I mean,
don't they just coach you to tackle the guy? Like, if you don't know, just hit him, and it's a 10-yard penalty? Whatever?
It's weird because it's incredibly poor decision on Norwood's part to even field it to me.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure why you feel that. Oh, hey, here's three Panthers defenders. I'm going to run in there and try to catch this ball. I mean, that in and of itself is stupid to me. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm not. But to me,
if I have to guess, I think it's just that the play crossed the line into being so stupid that there's no way that this could possibly work, that it just had to work.
Yeah. I mean, so you get the poor decision of Norwood to field it, and then you get the poor decision of the Panthers to just say, oh, yeah, let's just let him go. He obviously called fair catch or something, so we're not going to make we're not going to make any attempt to tackle him. Oh, wait, we are going to make an attempt to tackle him, and that attempt is going to push him out of the pile of defenders to let him run down the field. And it's just,
yeah.
I mean, what do you do? I mean, if you're a Panther, you know, Panther fan, a person on that Panther special team, I mean, just what do you do?
I'm sure Thanatos saw that play, and he was just like, oh, God, no, it's going to be one of these games again.
Yeah, you can't fight fate. And then the T.J. Ward pick. And that's another one where I am literally yelling at the TV to get down. I'm telling him get down, and he didn't listen. I mean, you see him struggling to get up.
And yeah, all that's and you're just like, play. stay down, give yourself up, please. Please give yourself up.
And it's like you're struggling, and all you're doing is letting the Panthers' offense close in, and nothing's going to end well when you're struggling to get up and you're focusing on that. And what does he do? He gets up and tries to be a hero, or not for Danny Trevathan.
Yeah, he was almost Marlon McCree.
Trevathan out of nowhere.
Danny Trevathan, hero, actually.
Yeah. And it's just... And that's just another one of those plays. I mean, that's just weird.
It's one of those things where it just kind of felt like everything was in our favor. Like,
yeah.
we were going to fuck this up. We made every attempt to fuck this up, and
yeah.
Somehow we didn't. So.
And I think at that point it was like a 4-point game, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was 10-6. And it's just, I mean, there was so many opportunities for the momentum to swing in the Panthers' way, and it just never happened. They could never take any of those opportunities and capitalize on them. It was just a weird Super Bowl. I don't know if it was good. I don't think it was good. I mean, the end result.
I don't know if it was good, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah, the end result was good. I mean, Broncos get a ring. Peyton gets a ring, rides off in the sunset. You know, isn't going to get credit for it, which, you know, again, that stat line isn't really deserving of much credit. But,
no.
I mean, it is what it is. It's the capping of a, you know, storybook ending, which I know people, you know, it's like, oh, everybody gets storybook endings. I mean, Ray Lewis got a, you know, went out with a ring. So it's just like, but.
Yeah, no, it's Michael Strahan got it, Jerome Bettis got it,
yeah.
So it does kind of feel like it's happening every year, but I think that's more just every team has a player that's going to retire.
Yeah,
I mean,
pretty much.
I mean, it's going to happen no matter who is playing. Like,
yeah.
The only difference is if some guys are like, well, maybe I'll just stick around for another year, and it's just like,
yeah.
no, don't.
Sure, I just got a ring. We're gone.
Yeah. Peyton shouldn't stick around another year, though. I think this is his perfect send-off.
Yes, it is. I will be absolutely shocked if he sticks around. I will be absolutely shocked. I think he's already made up his mind. I mean, as many reports as there have been that says that, you know, he's told friends and he's told people on the field, I guess, during the Super Bowl, this was pretty much it. I really don't see him coming back, because if he does come back, it's not going to be with the Broncos. And
no,
it's that
he's
going to
die.
I mean, what is
this Ram or a Los Angeles
yeah.
Ram?
Yeah, I mean, what's the point? I mean, you're going to come back. You're going to get on an inferior team. You're going to have to essentially learn yet another offense. Okay, I shouldn't say learn another offense, because Peyton's offense is pretty much his own. But you're gonna have to kind of get used to that. And you're pushing 40. I mean, that's not, you know, it's not like you're at the peak of your career and you can just go anywhere and play at a high level. I mean, you're not good at this point. It serves nothing to continue the career.
No, and he's not even, like, an asset to a team anymore
yeah.
because he's playing that poorly. So,
yeah.
I mean, he should retire. I think the only reason he's not done it immediately is so that, you know, they don't overshadow the Broncos winning the Super Bowl with, oh, Peyton's retiring, good for him. You know, they're letting...
That would be, yeah, I mean, that would be the pretty much the news cycle with, you know, Peyton's retiring, a look back on Peyton's career, Peyton retrospectives, et cetera,
yeah.
et cetera, et cetera.
And you know that every news network is just prepared for this shit to come once it starts. Once he officially announces it, they've got weeks of shit prepared for this.
There'll be, yeah, newsreels and footage and interviews with players and interviews with coaches. And
commercials of interviews.
Yeah. 24-hour Peyton Network, yeah, fun times.
All the stories about his sexual abuse scandal getting swept under the rug, you know, classic Peyton stuff.
Yeah, we're going to get to that, because I was going to segue. We're going to talk about Cam Newton. At least I want to talk about Cam Newton, so we're going to segue that into the sexual abuse stuff. But yeah, let's see. Let me check my time since I started the show late. Let's see here. So it was 11:07, so 45 minutes from that. So we got like 13 minutes. So Cam Newton is the world's biggest baby, like 6'5", 240, 250, and just an absolute massive baby. He has the press conference. The press conference after the loss shows up in sad face and a hoodie. Which right there, you know, that things aren't going to go well. Gets a couple of, you know, I mean, really softball questions, terrible one-word answers, and then pieces out. There's one theory that he hears Chris Harris talking about, oh, we wanted Cam to throw the ball. There's that one theory. But either way,
it's Cam pretty acceptable. Like, you're on the biggest stage. You have years of media training. It starts in college. And you have to be prepared for that. You know, everybody loses. Nobody wins every single game in the National Football League.
Yep.
You might have lost on the biggest stage, but, you know, I hesitate to say show some class because... You know, other people say that, and it bumps me into that crowd. But, you know, show some class. Fuck it.
Yeah. And then doubles down essentially the day after, and you know doesn't apologize for the way he acts, and essentially says that, you know, I'm a sore loser. That's who I am. And if you show me a gracious loser, then I will show you a loser, which is amazing.
Well, it's a Vince Lombardi quote, so I don't really mind that. It's the other part he said about when he was asked about the fumble.
Yeah.
And he basically said, I don't want to get injured.
The fumble. Yes, I totally forgot about the fumble. So, yeah, I mean, it's the Super Bowl. I mean, yeah. I mean, it's the Super Bowl. You have to sell yourself out. Sell your body out because it's a Super Bowl. You might not get another chance at that, and you should do everything in your power to win.
I think the thing was he was just completely psychologically devastated by the Broncos defense.
Yeah.
Because
if
you watch Cam Newton play, he sells out on every play. Like, he gives up his body on a lot of plays. So the fact that he didn't go and dive for that one fumble is really shocking to me. Like, I think the Broncos just completely gone to his head.
Pretty much. I would absolutely agree with that. And I completely forgot about the fumble in the recap. So, yeah, there's another play that's kind of weird. I've said on TGP that I think that Cam Newton is going to be one of the most interesting stories to watch next season, because I don't want to over exaggerate that, you know, that this could be like a defining moment in his career, but this could be like a defining moment in his career. This could be something that it's essentially all downhill from here, and he like never recovers. Now, do I necessarily think that's the case? No, but I do think that there's like the possibility of it happening.
Like this would be like a perfect spark plug for the narrative of his career, depending on the actions he takes from here on out.
Yeah.
Like, you can tell he doubled down on that, on his statements about being a sore loser. And who knows, you know, maybe we see it in, like, a divisional game against the Saints where he fumbles the ball and he doesn't give up the body for it. And, you know, it just keeps repeating. Like, the media just keeps hammering in there that Cam Newton is a sore loser, is a baby, doesn't want to give it up for the game. And who knows, it could sink his career.
Yeah, it's certainly going to be it's really going to be something interesting to watch, and there's that. So there's his whole press conference thing, and then I guess I kind of wanted to segue that into a larger complaint about society. Society in general sucks.
Agreed.
The fact that Cam Newton criticized for his press conference. Just because you criticize him does not make someone a racist. He is African American, but any quarterback, player, etc. in that position who did things in the Super Bowl that he did, and also, you know, his antics throughout the season. Anybody who acts like that and then follows that up with that Super Bowl press conference is going to get run over, and aptly they should. It has nothing to do with his skin color.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you put if Ben Roethlisberger did that same thing, everyone would be on his ass. If Tom Brady did that, everyone would be on him. Drew Brees, same thing. Peyton Manning's about the only person I think it wouldn't be, because he's got the media wrapped around his little finger. But other than that, like, absolutely every quarterback in this league would be lambasted for what Cam did on that. Because, you know, quarterbacks have been there before. Tom Brady's lost two Super Bowls. Peyton Manning's lost two Super Bowls. Drew Brees
got blown out in the last Super Bowl.
Yeah. Like, even Colin Kaepernick lost a Super Bowl, and he, you know, showed decent human being, sportsmanship, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah.
And
like,
go ahead.
It's not a racist thing. It's just, you know, it's a maturity thing. You know, be a better person.
Yeah. And that's just one of the things that annoys me. Everybody's so quick saying, oh, you're just hating on Cam Newton because he's black. And it's just like, no, anybody, I don't know at this point, I don't know if Peyton does that, if he gets lambasted for it. I don't, if Brady at this point, I don't know if he gets called out for it. But you have like a 26-year-old Peyton Manning, yes. A 26-year-old Brady, absolutely. And it's
you think those guys weren't angry when
situation does not
Jets
happen.
Blew him out 41-0? You think Brady wasn't disappointed when he lost the AFC Championship game in 2006? No, they are, but, you know, they went about it in the right way.
Yeah, and then so we've got that. I mean, even see on Twitter, people complain. It's like, oh yeah, even in the NFL, with the old white guys always win stuff. And it's just like, society just sucks. Just sucks. So then yesterday, I think it was yesterday. It was either yesterday or today. I think it kind of blew up today. But we get Sean King, not the ex Tampa Bay Buccaneer quarterback Sean King, but essentially, you know, some troll, essentially, given what he is,
essentially,
brings up Peyton's, sexual harassment suit from years ago. So we kind of get that. Again,
that was 20 years ago.
Yeah, that in and of itself is, somewhat racially motivated. I mean, look at Peyton, It's just, that in and of itself is annoying. I don't know the validity of the suit. I do know Mike Florio, which, I'm not certain how much Mike Florio is qualified to talk on anything, but he is a lawyer, so I'm going to side that he was a lawyer, but I'm going to assume that he at least, knows what he's talking about in this and says that essentially the suit and what that 74-page document that Mr. King brings up is in fact what the defense prepared for those for the lady that Peyton allegedly put his testicles and rectum and butt cheeks on. So I don't know the validity of it. I know what he mentions is strange because there's weird contact and whatnot. But again, I mean, if that's all from the defensive side of things, that needs to be taken with a grain of salt. But it's just digging things up, just to essentially kind of tear people down. I mean, we already knew about this because it came out again, got re-brought up a couple years ago, but it's just, come on.
Yeah, it's people just like tearing other people down. It's kind of the way of life.
Pretty much. But
the tallest stalk of wheat gets cut down, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, it's gonna be one thing because I'm sure the story will probably grow legs. I'm sure they'll get more media outlets, especially now that the football season's over with. I'm sure you'll get more media outlets that pick it up and run with it. It's just I don't know. Like I said, I don't know the validity of it. I don't know, if it's true. The story seems kind of weird because I'm not certain how one dangles their legs off like an exam table and then somehow, junk and butt ends up on a head without like actually sitting on somebody. But
I mean, unless your butt's at or your head's at the end of the table where the junk is, it's not.
Yeah. It's kind of weird, but just a weird story. But I mean, there's that. So yeah, I guess my rant. Just society sucks in general. Stop making everything about race. It's not. But people are gonna read into things what they want to read into. So yeah.
Yeah, people have a narrative crafted in their head before the facts even hit the table. So they have a narrative crafted in their head before any evidence hits their ears. No matter what they see, they'll just believe something because they want to.
I think we're going to end the show because, again, as I started this a little late, I'm not certain exactly when this thing is going to cut me off, and I think it's probably going to cut me off any second
pretty
now.
Soon.
So, thank you, sir, for calling in. Congrats on your Super Bowl win, Super Bowl victory. And we will do this again maybe next week.
Maybe next
the off
week.
Season things are gonna get probably random with the shows. Maybe do it every other week or something. I'm sure we'll have stuff to talk about. I mean, we got draft and combine and sexual harassment allegations and all sorts of fun stuff to talk about.
Yep, combine's coming. Get to look at hundreds of men in their underwear. Woo!
Oh yeah!
Oh yeah!
All right, I just got the thank you screen. I just got the thank you screen popped up, but it hasn't cut me off yet.